Jesse Sarzo, Boys Are Cold, and you're listening to Monday Night Blah. What is it?
Monday Night Talk.
Oh.
On WATD.
In WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And we want to make sure that we thank State Representative Garrett Bradley for joining us for a few moments. Joe, your thoughts on the state representative talking about your favorite topic, and that is the flood maps and the flood insurance. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought, Hingham is being impacted. I know that's a big part of his district. So Hull's next, and I know he carries Hull as well. So it's going to be a big deal for him, too. And he was at our rally. So
very
it was
cool.
Awesome.
Well, now, do you know who we have joining us? I believe he's on the phone line at this moment. A gentleman who we remember back a couple of years ago, about 4 years ago, that he was running against, on the GOP ticket, against Governor Deval Patrick, and has announced that he is looking to be the GOP nod in 2014. Who would that person be, Joe?
It would be none other than Charlie Baker.
Charlie, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. You know, I'm sort of from the if at first you don't succeed school of thought on this.
I have to ask you, how frustrating has it been for you the past, you know, there were, I think, a lot of things that you had pointed out during the race in 2010 that you kind of pre-warned the residents of Massachusetts, of this Commonwealth, of things that they might see over the next 4 years. And, I mean, I can't turn around how many times that we have seen in January a new tax that the governor would create and come up with for his, you know, his annual budget for the state. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I ran on a pretty substantive platform the last time, and credit to the governor for running a great race and winning. But I have been, to tell you the truth, kind of pleasantly surprised by a number of the initiatives that have been pursued since that time, because they represented issues that I talked about quite a bit. I mean, if you look at the number of Democrats and Republicans who've been sort of deeply involved in the conversation about reforming the state's EBT program, I talked a lot about that during the campaign the last time, and was actually kind of thrilled to see people get involved in that conversation and to actually implement some pretty significant reforms.
But on the
tax piece, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
The big positive news on that one is at least the tech tax, which was originally proposed by the governor and passed by the legislature over the objections of the Republicans, has sort of come back around, and now there's bipartisan belief that that's a bad thing for the economy, which is certainly what I felt all along. And frankly, if I'd been governor, I don't think that ever would have made it through the process in the first place. But I'm just glad to see that we got rid of it, because it's exactly the wrong thing to be doing at the wrong time in a state that's so focused on growing our innovation economy and using our brains to create jobs, which is what we've been doing for the better part of the past couple of hundred years.
I have to ask, and not to do any finger pointing at parties, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't subscribe to either party, but it took a Republican to point out some of the woes that we were seeing with DTA and with EBT, and was the one who is still on this, and that's Shauna O'Connell, who is a state representative down in the Taunton area.
Shauna has been sort of the leading voice on this issue,
right,
over the course of the past several years, and good for her. But if you look at some of the changes that have happened over the course of the last couple of years, many of them ended up with big-time bipartisan support, big majorities in the House when the governor vetoed some of the modest reforms that they put in place. The House and the Senate overrode those vetoes by big margins, in some cases, you know, sort of 80-20, which meant you had a lot of Democrats who joined the Republicans to support a reform agenda on that stuff. And while there's still a lot left to do there, I think Shauna and the rest of the Republicans in the House and the Senate should and do take credit for bringing a bunch of their Democratic colleagues along with them, right?
I definitely agree. What do you feel as though there's still, that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, and there's still more that needs to be done when it comes to any kind of assistance that is provided through the Department of Transitional Assistance?
Well, I think always one of the big problems you end up with when you have, cards going out to people who are in some cases no longer with us, which has been a problem. One problem that was raised by this. He also had a whole series of reports issued by the auditor, who's a Democrat, and by the inspector general, who's also a Democrat, about the fact that in many cases the state wasn't even abiding by its own rules and its own requirements in terms of how it was implementing and managing the program. There's always room for improvement there. And guys, the big problem with this is it creates a huge credibility gap for government generally. And I think in some ways that's the most fundamental issue that that sits out there, which is that people have, you know, an expectation that they're going to get a dollar's worth of sort of effective, efficient government for a dollar's worth of taxes or fees. And when you have a program like this that so clearly is being undermanaged, and where there are constantly stories over and over again about how the program isn't being properly administered, and being and in many cases coming from people who are part of the same party that is in charge of the program overall, it just sends a horrible signal to people around Massachusetts generally about the quality of their government and the bang they're getting for their buck. And I think that's part of the reason why there was so much resistance, in particular the tech tax, in addition to the fact that it was just a bad idea and the wrong tax on the wrong part of the economy. I just think there are a lot of people out there who felt, you know what, I'm not really getting my money's worth to begin with. Why am I being expected to pay more taxes to pay for a state government that isn't actually delivering the mail to begin with?
I kind of going back to, you know, talking about the tech tax, you know, we've been following it here on Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD and had, you know, folks from not only from the industry, but, you know, small businesses and leaders on the South Shore talking about it. I mean, do you think we need to have more public outcry from one end of the state to the other in order to kind of get things done up on Beacon Hill? Or should it be or do we need to hire leaders who have a little bit more common sense and aren't in lockstep with their party?
Well, I was one of these guys who always, I mean, I worked, as you remember, on Beacon Hill under Bill Weld and Paul Cellucci, both Republican governors, for 8 years back in the 90s. And we got a lot of really terrific stuff done on a bipartisan basis. And I would argue that to some extent, the fact that we had a bipartisan set of leaders on Beacon Hill was a good thing. I mean, if you think about education reform and welfare reform and workers' comp reform and a lot of the county government stuff we did and some of the pension reforms. And those were big initiatives that saved the taxpayers tons of money, dramatically improved the quality of state government, and in the education reform piece, significantly improved the quality of education in the Commonwealth. And I think that's the sort of thing that voters want. They just want results. And whether you're talking about jobs, whether you're talking about schools, or talking about better and safer communities, which are the three big issues that I'm planning to talk about going forward, what people really want to know more than anything is that their money's being well spent, and that if you're raising taxes, you're probably not doing much to create a lot of jobs. And if you're taxing the innovation part of our economy and you're not really thinking about being competitive, if you have the highest health care costs on small business, the highest energy costs on small business, you're not thinking real hard about the things you should be doing to grow the economy. On the school piece, the same thing is true. You know, we have fabulous schools and fabulous school districts. We also have a bunch of schools and school districts that are underperforming, that aren't giving the kids in those communities the education they need. And we should be focusing all of our energy on making sure that those school districts and those schools are performing. Because let's face it, the state and the taxpayers are making the investment on the financial side, and it's up to us to make sure that the kids in those schools get frankly what they deserve on the performance and the education side as well.
And we are speaking with the 2010 GOP gubernatorial candidate, and also announced that he is going to be running once again in 2014. I have to ask you, do we have any kind of early indication as to what some of the issues are going to be that you might be debating with your Democratic counterpart? Or I don't know. I don't know if there's somebody in the GOP who might want to, you know, go up against you for the primary. If we got a united party, what do you think the issues are going to be if you have any early indication?
Well, I can tell you right now, Kevin, that what I'm going to be talking about are some of the things you and I have been talking about here. I'm going to talk about jobs. and things we can do to create more jobs here in Massachusetts, and especially to create more jobs outside Route 128. I mean, it's pretty clear to anybody who looks at the data that we have kind of a state of two economies in Massachusetts. We have the inside 128 economy, which is doing, I think, by all accounts, quite well, and the outside 128 economy, which is not doing anywhere near as well. And I really think we ought to be focusing on initiatives and opportunities to improve the quality of the economy outside 128 as well as inside 128. I'm going to talk a lot about the school piece that you and I just talked about. There are models out there that have been proven to work to educate kids in cities and to deliver for those kids the same high-quality education that a lot of folks are getting in the suburbs. I think we should be working real hard to expand those models. And the third piece I'm going to talk about is this issue of how do we create strong, vibrant communities across the Commonwealth. I mean, I've been a state official. I've been a local official. I've kind of seen this movie from both sides, and I think there are a lot of things we can do to dramatically improve the sort of economic opportunity and vibrancy in many of our cities around Massachusetts. I'm really looking forward to working with mayors and with others to test some of these ideas and to see what they think will work and to really focus on making sure that all of Massachusetts is succeeding economically and not just certain places at the expense of others.
Charlie, Joe Rossi here. We are at the end of 2013, when do you plan on really getting your campaign kicked off?
Well, we got into the race. We announced we were getting into the race shortly after Labor Day, and we did a full day of interviews with all of the various media outlets, and we've been spending most of the past 30 days meeting with supporters and prospects, connecting with old friends, trying to make some new ones. We've made three trips, sort of campaign days, one up to Gloucester on the North Shore to talk about the fishing industry and about what we might be able to do there. We also spent a day up in Lowell where we met with a lot of different folks, but in particular we spent some time at the Emerging Technology Center at UMass Lowell, which is a really terrific example of public-private partnership to create jobs and economic opportunity for people up in the Merrimack Valley. We went out to Worcester and spent time at the Business Expo out in Worcester and met with a bunch of folks in the manufacturing community out there. I'm a big believer that manufacturing should be and ought to be part of the future for Massachusetts, especially outside 128, where I think some of the cost issues are nowhere near as uncompetitive as they are inside 128. Those are good jobs. People can make a life and a living out of that, and we should be working hard to sort of, I wouldn't call it imitate, but learn from what they've been able to do in Worcester and in the Worcester area. Worcester's a top 50 manufacturing city in the country, and manufacturing activity out there has been growing at a rate that's 50% above the national average for the past few years. We should take some of the lessons of what they've been doing out there and start applying them in other parts of Massachusetts. And we're going to continue to work our way around the state. I fully expect to hit sort of all the major parts of Massachusetts over the course of the next few months. I mean, our goal is to get to every place we can get to sort of by the early part of December. And then obviously we'll be back for second, third, and fourth trips in 2014.
We are talking to Charlie Baker here on Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. Charlie, you know, I know in the last time around in 2010, there was a third-party candidate that came in and put together what would seem to be a better-than-usual third-party race.
But he was kind of a Democrat in independent clothing, though.
That's correct, okay. But it was still a third party, technically.
Okay.
But in all regards, it really seemed like you yourself ran a fairly good race. What are some of the lessons you learned from 2010 that you either want to carry over to this coming race or some things that you would rather have changed?
I think one of the biggest lessons, you certainly learn a lot of things when you do this the first time. And by the way, one of the things I would say just right up front, my wife and I both found the whole experience overall, despite what happened on Election Day, to be a very positive one. I mean, we made a lot of friends, many of them people we never would have had an opportunity to meet otherwise. They're lifelong friends. They're people we're going to know for the rest of our lives. And when you get a chance to sort of walk around the Commonwealth and drive around with this little card that says you're running for governor. What do you think about what's going on in Massachusetts? You have this huge opportunity to really get to know a whole bunch of people and, you know, their hopes, their dreams, what they think is working, what they think isn't working. And you get to meet a lot of people you'd never meet just through the normal sort of everyday walk of life that you, you know, that you live with. And I thought that was incredibly positive. So, I mean, my fundamental point there is that even though we came up short at the end, both of us came away with a very positive sense about Massachusetts and the people who are here from our previous experience. I think one of the things we'll try to do a little differently this time is I really am going to focus on these three big issues, jobs, schools, and community building, because I think those are all areas where we can do far better than we've done, and we should do better than we've done. I mean, it's amazing to me that a state with all the talent and all the terrific people we have has an unemployment rate that's basically at the national average and no better than that. I mean, we should have an unemployment rate that's way below the national average. We should be performing at least at the same rate as the country overall. I would argue better, given all the talent and all the sort of intellectual capital we have here. And the school piece, I feel the same way. I mean, people seem to be sort of satisfied with where we are in the school piece because, you know, overall our performance is pretty good. Very good, in fact, in many places. But we have a lot of schools and a lot of school districts that should just be doing a lot better. And the same goes with the community thing. I think there are a lot of things we can do to significantly improve the performance of the state's relationship with a lot of our cities and towns, and especially a lot of our cities, get a lot more strategic about how we can work with local officials and others to make the kinds of investments that are going to create safer and more vibrant communities. And then the final thing I say, you know, if I were lucky enough to win and I got to the end of my first term and people said, you know what, state government under Charlie Baker is as thrifty and as creative and as imaginative and as hardworking as the people in Massachusetts, you know, I think that would be great. I mean, that's really kind of what I think we should be, you know, talking about and working to deliver on.
Well, Charlie, we want to thank you. Before I let you go, I want to make sure that I mentioned that it looks as though on the Democratic side of thing that there are a couple of heavyweight opponents in the Attorney General Martha Coakley, who is seeking the Democratic nod, as is Treasurer Steve Grossman. Give me your thoughts that, you know, there's a possibility it's one of a couple that you might be squaring off against next November.
You know, one of the things I learned from my last experience, guys, is you shouldn't get too interested in trying to predict the future on this stuff. Things have a funny way of not necessarily traveling down the path you would expect.
Right.
My view on this is really simple. I'm running for governor. I'm not running against anybody. And I'm going to spend my time listening to people and touring the Commonwealth and hearing what they have to say about what we can do to create more jobs, create a more competitive Massachusetts, what we can do to improve our schools and make sure every school is a great school, and what we can do to build terrific communities across the Commonwealth and create that kind of economic vitality that makes it possible for families to raise kids and build a future and build a life. Because that's, you know, I sort of feel like I had that opportunity. I grew up in a great town. I got a great public school education. I feel like, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones, and I want to be able to see if I can't figure out a way to make everybody have those kinds of opportunities.
If folks want to follow you, where you might be visiting next, what's going on with the campaign, is there a website? Is there a way for people to get involved with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. The website is www.charliebaker2014.com. And they should just go on the website and sign up. And if they sign up, they'll get information from us on what we're doing, where we're going, communications from the campaign, and that sort of thing. And that really is, in many respects, the best and the easiest way to keep track of where we are and what we're up to.
Well, we definitely want to stay in touch with you and your campaign, and would love to have you on a semi-regular basis, especially next year as things start heating up and, you know, we see you more and more and your opponents in the news. We definitely would love to have you back on.
That'd be great, guys. I'd look forward to that. Thanks, Kevin and Joe.
That, of course, was Charlie Baker. What'd you think of having Charlie on? And,
yeah.
And this is kind of on the cusp, and I believe in a couple of moments we're going to be speaking with Steve Grossman. But give me your thoughts, at least speaking with Charlie right out of the box, about well, we have a chance to be in the front row watching next year.
It is. It's interesting, Kevin, because it feels like just yesterday that Charlie was running for governor. It's been almost 4 years now. And I think it's going to be interesting also to see if, A, there's any more Republicans that come out, because you remember 4 years ago, Christy Myhos tried to run against Charlie and didn't even make it to be in front of the convention. And the second thing, it'll be interesting to see how much better he fares this time than before.